Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
So I'm Josh Koenig. I'm a founder and CTO at Chapter 3 and have been involved with Drupal since way back in 2003, so showing my age a little bit. And over the past year, I got more and more excited about Drupal infrastructure and thinking about what we need to do as a community and as a project to go from where we are now, which has been wildly successful beyond what anything I thought, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, to even more successful. You know, like, what does it take to get Drupal to run a whole percent or more of the internet, which is about 10 times more sites than we're currently doing? And I started doing more and more work with clients and projects that had high performance, high availability, high scalability needs, and seeing that there was a lot of confusion about, you know, what are the best ways to do this, and everyone has their own recipe. And the truth is that, you know, there's always more cutting edge stuff coming out, but at the basic level, there are a lot of just pretty solid best practices at this point, like the things you should do regardless of your eventual use case. But the problem is that in the Drupal world is full of what I call like the accidental system administrator. It's somebody who's really a developer, but who does these system administration tasks to deploy their sites for their customers because nobody else is going to do it for them. So they're going out to Slicehost or Linode or a place like that and getting a VPS and setting up a server and doing apt-get install and following some recipe maybe or maybe just from their own, you know, notes, putting together a little bit of a config. But this is something they do maybe 3, 4, 5, 10 times a year. It's not really as much in their bones as running Drupal is. And things get overlooked or more cutting-edge tactics are scary or different or hard for people. So I started getting really interested in cloud computing, starting with Amazon Web Services, but now branching out to many others, including Rackspace, and looking at what we can do to take the best that Drupal could possibly be out of the box, again, regardless of your use case, the stuff that you just should do, no matter what, and prepackage all of that so that people don't have to wonder about the state of their configuration, and they can just spin up a server, and that, you know, hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of work is already done, and they don't have to worry about it. They know that it was done right because it was part of that initial configuration. So this is the concept of what we call the Pantheon project. And we were releasing this server image it's tuned for high performance. It's got a really high-speed caching system called Varnish that helps you serve anonymous pages, you know, hundreds of times faster than Drupal can. But it also has Apache Solr, the high-performance search engine. It has Memcache. It has APC compiled into PHP and all these other tweaks that you need to really run a Drupal site, you know, for a lot of users as fast as it possibly can be. And this is good for a smaller VPS system that, you know, maybe is $50 a month or even less, on up to, like, enterprise-scale systems. You want to run all these technologies. And so it's been interesting. I mean, we released our first Amazon machine image, and Amazon is great because they let us give these things away for free. We want to be totally, I'm committed to open source now after more than a decade of doing it. I don't see any reason to go any other way, but they make it really easy for me to just give it away, like spin up an image, and there's a nominal cost to us, a few cents for the bandwidth to download it to the client server, but then they've got all this stuff, they can pick it apart and see how it works. We've also got all our configuration files and how-tos are available, so people can roll it on their own hardware if they've got that, or they just want to, you know, go through each step and understand what we're doing. That's all available. We've gotten some really good contributions from people who have gotten into the stuff that we've done because of that. So we put up our first Amazon machine image in July of last year, and we're here at DrupalCon. We're going to announce our first commercial service so that people don't have to deal with Amazon if they don't want to. They can just come to us and we'll do it for them. We're actually using Rackspace for this. It'll be an interesting announcement, but they don't have to deal with a hosting provider. They one-stop shop, you know, swipe your credit card, get your server. Drupal's already installed and it's good to go. So we're excited to see where that can go. And in the future, just being able to take a lot of these processes that are more challenging or advanced or just exotic to the Drupal community and standardize them and commoditize them. And it really helps us do what we need to do to make Drupal into a really easy thing for people to run, even when they're going to have a lot of traffic, and make it into like a sure thing, right? So that there's no longer, oh, you know, Drupal works except if you get a lot of traffic. We want that not to be true, because if you set it up right, you can totally get on Dig and Reddit and the Drudge Report and be A-okay. And I think everybody who runs a Drupal site should have that level of hosting and that level of coverage, and it shouldn't be something that's only available to those who hire high-performance consultants or have a lot of esoteric knowledge. So, Yeah, that's the project.
And so when you go onto Amazon, there's still you are setting it up, but it's not without, like, if something crashes, there's no sysadmin that you're calling up. You're still kind of responsible. So, like, what are the type of sites that would use Amazon services, and what type of events might happen where they'd have to actually go and change something, like spin up more servers or something like that?
Yeah, so the great thing about cloud computing and this whole concept of infrastructure as a service is that you can, if you take the giant leap, right, and it is a big leap, of going from having all of your website on one server to separating out, at the very least, the database onto its own server and then the Apache PHP part of the website onto its own server. You then have this ability to scale what's called scaling horizontally, which, if you imagine a diagram where there's at the bottom of the diagram is a database server and at the top of the diagram is your web server, you can add more web servers that are all talking to this one database server. And so, you know, typically people will see actually significant cost savings if they go with Amazon and they have this type of infrastructure, if they have usage that varies a lot over the course of a week or even over the course of a day. So if you got a lot of users during the daytime, not so many at night, you can have more servers during the day than you do at night. And you get the benefit of having a multiple server architecture, like 4 or 5 web servers, but you don't have to pay for them 24 hours a day because Amazon charges you by the hour. It gives you the ability to set up, you know, dynamic and flexible, what they call, that's their whole idea. It's elastic, quote unquote, architecture. And you can do all this directly yourself, and they have APIs, so if you can script things, you can come up with your own algorithms to try to do this. Amazon themselves have some tools to help you set up this dynamic load balancing, and there are a number of service providers that have built their whole businesses around doing that for people, like RightScale. The thing with Amazon, again, is you are running your own infrastructure. There's not a managed hosting option. And there are people that offer some kinds of managed hosting on top of Amazon. But typically, the sites that are going there and taking advantage of that, you know, large-scale content sites, enterprise websites, people that need high availability, people that are seeing millions of page views a month with a significant portion of logged-in traffic, you know, that's where you need multiple server architecture. Our initial use case is actually not to even try to address that stuff directly. All the technologies we use are really integral to doing those types of architectures, and we build those as part of our consultancy. But the service offering we're doing is actually somewhat more simple. It is the one server solution. The use of the cloud in this case is just to make sure that people get the exact right server each time, because we're making a copy. It's actually really powerful to be able to say, okay, let's not set up this thing and configure it and maybe make some mistakes while we configure it or typo something. It's already ready to go. It's been thought out. It's a clone of another thing that we know works. And so we can spin them up for people really quickly and have a lot of confidence that they're going to work well.
Let's say you're an independent consultant or a small Drupal shop, maybe 1 or 2 people, and you're running different Drupal sites. Does that mean that if you could get a slice host slice and sort of run everything off of that one slice? And is that similar to this case where they might come to Chapter 3 with a deal with Rackspace and say, hey, we want to have just basically a server where we're going to run like 5 different websites on it? Or would it need to have its own instance for each website?
Right now, the automatic thing, it will be to have, you know, a unique instance for each website. But clearly, a lot of people like to, you know, put more than one site on one server because, you know, it makes sense to do that. So there's a couple different things that are in the works. Number one, if you're already comfortable with adding new Apache virtual hosts, you can do that. You can simply add more virtual hosts to this existing server and add more sites to it, and just like you would with a slice host, right? That's totally supported, but that's up to you to do. In the future, we don't have this now, but sort of on the near-term roadmap is the ability to have a structured way of doing multi-site installations. And in fact, I'm even looking at the feasibility of being able to roll out servers that give you, the admin, access to an Eager instance, which is this really wonderful Drupal tool for managing multiple site deployments. So both multiple different websites that are completely distinct and multi-site instances on top of a single website, a single platform is what Eager calls it. It's a very natural interface for running this sort of stuff, and it takes the guesswork. You're no longer going in with VI or a text editor and editing an Apache virtual host by hand, typoing something, and then when you hit Apache restart, everything goes down. Like, let's take those types of problems out of the stream and just have a tool that knows what it is you're trying to do, is designed to solve that problem, and does it right every time. So I think being able to have Pantheon with Eager on it would be a real boon for a lot of folks, because it would let them use one server to serve multiple websites. At the moment, it's not set up to do that exactly, simply because a lot of the high-performance caching systems, you'd have to do additional configuration to really make them work well with multiple sites, and because I've been sort of, we've been sort of positioning this as like the speed demon, the truth is if you put 10 sites on it and they all get really busy, that might, you know, that might be a little bit much depending on what kind of resources are there.
And so who do you think the target audience is for this new offering that you're going to be providing?
The target audience is definitely, you know, this all this work comes out of our experience as a Drupal consultancy and what it takes to actually put our clients online. So our target audience is people like us, really. People who are building websites for medium-sized organizations. You know, we do some large enterprise work, but that's not even 50% of our total overall work, you know. So the majority of our sites, you know, we've built something like 140 websites in the past 4 years. And, you know, a good 125 of them, I guess, all fit into the same profile. They probably need their own instance, right? And we've taken the step of, you know, I'm uncomfortable having multiple clients on the same server. I tend to split that up. And the truth is that these don't cost an exorbitant amount of money. And you know, I also believe in giving my clients access to stuff. So all of our clients, you know, usually there's a technical contact there. That person has an SSH login. And for those reasons and more, we tend to put people on individual servers for individual projects. But these don't have to be huge, robust servers. They don't need to be like, you know, dedicated 4 gig machines from Rackspace. They can be simple VPS systems. And so we're trying to look at that as the people that we're trying to serve, as other Drupal consultants or small to medium-sized organizations that are using Drupal internally. You know, you've got like a couple Drupalists on staff or a tech person who does this or a web person who does this. They're not a sysadmin. They need the hosting. So just go with this and it's all sort of set up for you. And my belief is that, you know, turning this process that lets individuals or small groups of people who collaborate on building sites put something up really quickly and effectively and know that it's going to work if they get on Dig, or they don't have to be afraid of success anymore, that's going to help people launch more websites on Drupal and help more people get into Drupal, because that's no longer a barrier to entry for them.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken.